Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Let's Talk CFL Podcast. Roundtable discussion recorded live on Sunday and Wednesday nights. Visit Let's Talk CFL on Facebook for showtime. Brought to you by the Let's Talk Sports Groups on Facebook. Our partners, LostWorldOnSport.com. Stream live on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Good morning, CFL fans. Why am I saying good morning? It's nighttime across the country. Good evening, CFL fans. I'm your host, Charles Cliff, in the game for Christopher Jones. And here we are, ready to talk football again with the Let's Talk CFL Footcast. Football, Let's Talk CFL Football Cast, episode 218. Oh, I'm all tongue-twisted tonight. All right, so we're here tonight, and we are ready to talk about Week 19. It was a crazy week this week. Some results, some surprising results, and some teams are hitting their stride now, even though they're out of the playoffs. And some teams that should be playing in the playoffs and should be trying to peak are struggling right now. You look at two of the top teams in the CFL. You look at Calgary. You look at Winnipeg. They've been two of the top teams right now. They're struggling last little bit. Calgary's now lost two in a row, believe it or not. And they lost a game to their provincial rivals in Edmonton. So that's a probably a bit of a troubling factor there for the Edmonton for the Calgary Stampeders. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers have kind of had losing ways in the last little week. And they had some key injuries on Saturday. Matt Nichols went down on just a freak play where he injured, I believe it was a leg injury, like a thigh muscle or something like that. And then Andrew Harris got his bell rung on a hit. I think me and Mark are going to have a little disagreement on that hit a little bit later. But I digress. We'll get to that when we get to that. But, yeah, one more week left in the regular season. Is it me or does the off season drag on? It seemed to drag on forever. And then when we get to the season, it just goes by in the blink of an eye. It just seems like that. So really weird. It's right through, but the last week of the regular season next week, and then it's playoff time. And then it's we're going to be down to from 6-4-2, and then one team will be hoisting the Grey Cup on November the 26th. So it's an exciting time of year, but as I said in the last episode, kind of a sad time of the year as well. Because, you know, it's the end of the season and, you know, football's going to be gone for a while. But there'll be lots to talk about in this offseason. I think there's going to be quite a bit to talk about in this offseason because I think the season is going to be full of changes right across the CFL. So, all right, so it's time to bring in the panel. So I'm just going to start at the top of my list. The person I had the hardest getting a hold of, it was weird. She was on right away, and then she disappeared and didn't come back till right before the show started. Let's bring in Rhonda. Rhonda, how are you this fine evening?
Hello, everyone. I had a wonderful weekend watching football. It was quite enjoyable, so enjoyable. I watched it all again today, and I'm pretty excited. I'm really excited for next week. I wish we could just skip the whole week and just start with Friday.
Well, we don't want to do that because I've got at least one more game to watch, and then I'm done. My team's done for the year, so but we at least want to have one more week, seeing as my team finally got a win this week, which they haven't got many of in the last little while, and they helped your team out in the process.
Just as soon skip the whole Monday and just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and just let's make it Friday already. Let's watch some more football.
I agree with that. All right, so staying in Alberta, we're going to head over. Returning to the show tonight, he missed the last show, is Chris. Come on in, Chris.
Hey, good evening.
How are you doing tonight?
Oh, not bad. A little tired. It's been a long week. Wife left me for the week, so I had all three boys to myself, and we were in the playoffs with my team and a couple other teams I'm involved with. So just a hectic time of the year right now as everything's kind of wrapping up. So looking forward to going to bed tonight after the show. Sad as that is.
I'm sure. Yep. Okay, so let's move on now to the province of Manitoba. And we are going to bring in Will, the Bomber fan, who, they lost this weekend, at home to the Lions. And what did he say at the end of every episode?
BC still sucks, Charles. Always has, always will.
Well, not as much as the Bombers did on Saturday, so.
Yeah. Well, when you've got Michael Ott running around trying to see how many headshots he can get in a game, you know, the BC still sucks. I won't go near the Harris hit. I won't touch that one. But even you have to admit, Ott has to be reined in by a 5-game suspension to start with. Every game he does this.
I've made the comment even on the weekend that I have a tough time defending him because he does take a lot of liberties when he's throwing hits, and he's got to stop doing that because if he keeps doing that, he's going to seriously injure somebody.
Yep.
And we don't want that. Nobody wants that.
I can handle the Harris hit because it was a bang-bang play. I don't agree with it, whatever. Mm-hmm. Micah, whatever,
mm-hmm.
He thinks he's a missile. And that stuff needs to come out of football.
Yeah.
Or make him sign a waiver that when he gets CTE, he cannot sue the CFL. Because he's going to hurt himself, never mind somebody else.
True.
So,
fair enough.
Other than that, it was a good weekend of football.
It was, I agree. Yep. All right, so next we're going to go to Calgary and bring in the other Stampeder fan on our panel. It'll be Will.
Hello, Charles.
How are you tonight?
I'm just peachy.
Yep.
I'm watching your team
lost again.
Yeah, again. In a nothing game at the end of the season. So, you know, can't be overly disappointed. But, you know, I am a little concerned, but not overly disappointed. I expected it somewhat. So
fair enough.
We shall see. We shall see when all the chips are down what happens.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so we got one more person to bring in here, and that would be Brendan from Saskatchewan. Hi, Brendan. How you doing tonight?
Charles, I'm thrilled that you're hosting again. You're doing a bang-up job, as always, and I'm just having the perfect Sunday night, as you can see in that picture I put on the page. I get to just hang out here, watch Game 5 of the World Series, hang out with Sheena and the dog, and watch a little baseball and talk football. We never talk enough three-down football.
I agree with that. And like I said, the playoffs are coming up soon, and then the season's going to be over. But as we found out the last few years, the season being over doesn't necessarily mean there's nothing to talk about. A lot of times that means there's lots to talk about.
Feels like just yesterday we were saying, hashtag, is it June yet? And
that's
what we're going to be saying in just
a few weeks.
We're
going to be saying that again soon.
Yep, another month.
Yep. All right. Why are my buttons not up here? I think Blog Talk's tired of me pressing buttons here, so I don't know what's going on, but the button's not
it's
letting
sign.
Me...
It's a sign that? We need to get you new buttons for the show.
Apparently, yeah. All right, well then we'll just forget the buttons for now and go right into our game reviews. So let's start off with the first game of the week here, and I'm just going to pull it up here. So in the opener this week, we had a bit of a blowout, I believe. My computer froze on me before the show. Yeah. So it was not the blowout, but we had Hamilton going into the Grey Cup City of Ottawa playing the Red Blacks, and it looked for a long time that the Ticats were going to come out of Ottawa with a victory. But they did not. The Ticats actually had a lead for quite some time, and then they gave it up. And the
one books.
Pardon me.
One books for Aaron. Sorry.
Okay. Ottawa coming from behind to beat the Ticats 41-36, a barn burner, a high scoring one. A very interesting game. It looked like Hamilton was going to get another win. But Trevor Harris was able to turn it around because he had an awful start to this game. Let's start with Mark. Mark, you see this game. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I saw the majority of the game, the second half anyway. Really, Ottawa came down to one player. It was the Deontay Spencer show. Without all the work he did, Hamilton is walking away from this game in a blowout. Mm-hmm. He had, 469 yards in offense? Really, from the Ottawa side, there's absolutely nothing else to talk about other than Deontay Spencer. He had probably 75 to 80% of their offense. Harris, especially in the first half, lived up to what I say about him every week. I do not like him as a starting franchise quarterback. He just normally just can't get it done. This week he did. He played okay, and he played horrible in the first half, played a lot better in the second half, but they had a short field every single time they had the ball. They had to do no long drives because of Deontay Spencer. You know, he had, 300 yards in punt and kick returns. So when you've got that kind of average and you've got that kind of short field possession, it should be an easy game. Hamilton is a team I'm real happy with. I don't have to play next week, and you wouldn't have to see in the playoffs. So that is becoming a very good team. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Masoli and Kolaros going forward. But I thought Masoli actually outdid Harris on the game, and it just came down to who had the ball really last at the end of the fourth quarters. Ottawa had the ball. They brought it in. Powell had a really strong game again. So Ottawa looks dangerous going in. You know, it was a good game to watch. It was fun to watch. And that's it.
All right, Will.
Yes, sir. Well, I watched all of this game, of course. You know what? It was thoroughly entertaining. There's no doubt about it. I mean, other than it being thoroughly entertaining, I can't say much about the whole game. I really didn't care about it. But Hamilton came to play. You know, I think Jason Mazzoli has sealed
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah Mazzoli has sealed a starting position for next year. If it's not at Hamilton, it's somewhere. Because, I mean, 32 for 46, 438 yards and four TDs. Hey, what more could you ask for?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I think even a guy like Brandon Banks has finally found his calling as a receiver. He had 13 receptions for 193 yards. You know what? It was a good game to watch because there was lots of offense, not a whole bunch of defense, which was fine by me. It was one of those games you just sit back and watch each other, watch everybody score points. And Trevor Harris was impressive part of the game. William Powell had 133 yards. I mean, hey, it was a football game. There's no doubt about it. But other than that, I really don't have much to say because I watched it. It was enjoyable. And those two teams don't really matter that much to me. So there was really no... you know, intensity as far as I was concerned. So, hey, it was an entertaining football game to watch. You can move on to someone else.
All right, Brendan, what were your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I thought, you know, this was going to be one of the games that the league is really going to have a challenge with because we're so close to the end of the year and there were so many teams that just have so little to play for. I mean, we knew which three teams were going to miss the playoffs. We knew that Calgary wasn't, you know, going to change anywhere from where they were sitting in the standings. So with 4 out of 9 teams, you know, with really nothing to play for, you were going to get some games that were going to be lacking a little bit of drama. But, you know, there still was something on the line for Ottawa, and they played like it. I think it's very encouraging from the red-black standpoint that since Trevor Harris has come back, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're 3-0 with him at quarterback since he's come back from injury, are they not? The red-black?
I think that's right, yeah.
They're 3-for-3, so that has to be very encouraging for them. It's kind of nice that there will be a little bit of drama going into the final weekend of the season. I mean, there's so many games that do have something on the line. I mean, the Argos are going to be playing for something. I mean, they lose, they have to play in the semifinal. They win, they get to skip it and go right to the Eastern Final. So that'll be an important game for the Argos. Does it change my opinion on what the Ticats should do in the off season at all? Not one bit. We know that they played good football under this group, and they played better coming down the stretch. It has to be disappointing and a little bit disheartening for them that they couldn't play a little bit of spoiler. But aside from that, not really much else to add. I think a very encouraging win for the Ottawa Red Blacks to be 3-for-3 with Trevor Harris since he's come back from his injury.
Rhonda, what were your thoughts on this one?
Well, it was a very entertaining game for me. I really, really thought that the Ticats were going to pull out a win here because I think they outplayed the other team quite a bit more, in my eyes anyway. And it just adds more fuel to the whole, you know, had Kent Austin done the proper job as a general manager and gotten rid of Kent Austin, the coach, a little sooner, I think this team would go all the way to the Grey Cup. They're just going to be two games short, unfortunately, and that's too bad. I was a little worried about Harris when he come out injured there. He must have got a stinger or something. He went back in there. But, it was an entertaining game, but it doesn't really mean anything, I guess. Well, it does for the Red Blacks if they might be able to host a game. Well, they will host a game, but they might be able to get the bye into the final if Toronto loses.
Yep.
Yeah, that's about it.
All right, so unfortunately on Friday, I missed both games because I was working at a trade show. So I'm going a lot off of highlights and statistics and stuff like that. But what an absolutely crazy game for Deontay Spencer. I mean, the guy set a record for most all-purpose yards in a single game. The guy had 495 all-purpose yards, 133 receiving, 169 on punt returns, and 165 on kickoff returns. The guy was unreal, and he's a shoo-in, I think, for top star of the week. And he's probably the main reason they made the big comeback because, let's face it, without those yardage, especially the yardage on the punt and kick returns, which was probably setting up Ottawa with pretty good field position all night, Ottawa's not going to win that game because they were struggling badly in that one for a while, and he was kind of the spark for them. But having said that, I mean, give credit where credit is due. The Hamilton Tiger Cats, I remember, I think it was Brendan, who earlier this season said that he didn't think Hamilton was going to win a game all year for the rest of the year. And he was, we kind of all agreed with him, or at least some of us agreed with him, but they've become night and day better than what they were at the beginning of the year. So that coaching change has done wonders for them. So it was a fantastic game, 41 to 38 with the final score, 36 with the final score, and Ottawa takes it. So let's look at our picks for the game. So let's see, Mark, Rhonda, and Brendan all picked Hamilton, so they're already out. Will picked Ottawa 28-18. I picked Ottawa 31-28, And Chris picked Ottawa 28-26. So I'm just trying to figure out who won that one. So it was 41, so I was off by 10 and 2-12. Will, you were not bad, but you were there. And then looking at Chris's score here, he was off. He was bang on the score for Hamilton, who had 26. And Ottawa, you were off by 13. It looks like I win that one.
Hamilton got 36, not 26.
26, sorry, 31. So you were off by 10 and 13, and I was off by 8 and 10. I think I still won that one. Sorry, I'm trying to do this quickly to do the math here. I didn't get a chance to do it earlier. It looks like I won that one at 31-28. Anyone else have a... I think that's right.
Sounds good to me. I think you earned it, buddy.
You can have the trophy, Charles.
Congratulations,
all right.
Charles.
I'm going to call that a win.
No, he doesn't get the
though.
Trophy. The trophy's mine, but he gets the circle for that game.
Sorry, I'm trying to do math on the fly, which is not a good thing. So, all right,
that's
so 41 to 38. 41-36. God, listen to me. Ottawa beats Hamilton. And, hey, guess what? I got my buttons back.
There you go.
Let's talk CFL.
So game two of the doubleheader on Friday night.
CFL, what we're made of.
The only one that
I did
could
that
have done that
prank
was
on
Brendan.
Charles.
What's that?
I did that to pull a prank on you.
I kind of thought so. I was going to say the only one that could have done that was Brendan, because he's the only one, because he Skyped in. So he's the only other one that could have done that. So... I know who did that, so I'm watching you. Actually, I'm not. I can't tell what you're doing. Okay, so the second half of the Friday doubleheader, this was the blowout, the one at New Mosaic Stadium, which is becoming quickly a pretty tough team for opposing teams to win in. Actually, so is Old Mosaic, to be honest. A lot of teams had trouble in there, but particularly, they've lost twice there, right?
Yeah.
Brendan, you would know
once
this. Once
in the new stadium? Yep. Lost to Winnipeg and then to Ottawa. That's right.
That's right. So, and was that their last home game, or do they play at home next week, too?
No, they play at home to end the season against Rhonda's Edmonton Eskimos next Friday.
Okay, so right now they're 6-2 at New Mosaic. That's a pretty good record by
and
any
sense of imagination.
And they were both close,
their two
right?
losses, yeah, were both great games. Yeah, no, they've been great at home so far.
Yep. All right, so I'm just looking at something here. Okay, so Saskatchewan crushes Montreal. Anyone else surprised by this? No. 37-12 in what was Darian Durant's return to Montreal. Not a triumphant return because he was pretty crappy again. But... you know what? The Rough Riders organization and the fans treated him very nicely, I thought, from what I saw on the highlights, because, again, I saw the highlights of this game. So good on the classy move by the Riders and their fans to be very classy with him coming back. But the Riders went on and crushed Montreal 37-12, and a big game for Trent Richardson, his first real big game since joining the Riders. Brendan, you're the Riders fan. We'll let you start with this one.
Yeah, you know, when you look at how Montreal's season has gone, I don't think it should really be a surprise to anybody how this game went. They came in, and I thought it was very fitting that Jack Todd of the Montreal Gazette put on his Twitter account, 58 seconds in, and the Alouettes still aren't behind, fingers crossed. But you knew that eventually Saskatchewan was going to take the lead and jump ahead. This was really a very predictable outcome. I don't think anybody was surprised at the score or the way the game went. I learned a few things, like it was an eventful day because, of course, we had Taylor Field. The grandstand was knocked over, and I went over and did a little Facebook Live broadcast. That was my first ever Facebook Live broadcast, and I quite enjoyed that. I know Will tuned in, and it was really an hour of a whole lot of nothing, but just watching the old girl come down and change the Regina skyline, that was really more eventful, I would say, in the day than the actual game against the Alouettes. Last ever game for Nick Lewis, I thought it was very classy the way he went out, and the fact that he would choose to play his last game because he played his first game here in Regina. I remember that first game, too. I didn't realize, but when they were talking about it, it was the year that Dunnigan coached the Stampeders, and it was played at Old Taylor Field. But all in all, good victory for the Rough Riders. A little bit bizarre how they're going back and forth from Glen to Bridge, back to Glen, back to Bridge, then bringing in Vernon Adams. I still don't understand what useful role Vernon Adams is going to have on any football team in the long run. Doesn't seem to me like he can really throw the football. So they really like his effective mobility or shifty mobility. I think we've learned over the years that that alone does not make a quarterback at this level. It'll make a quarterback at the high school level, at the junior level, and even at the college level, but it will not make a quarterback, a full-time quarterback at the pro level. So why they're fooling around with Vernon Adams is just beyond me. I think they should be focusing more on coming up with more plays for the two main quarterbacks, the guys who actually are going to pull the trigger in the playoffs, Kevin Glenn and Brandon Bridge. They should be focusing on that, not Vernon Adams. But that's really all I have.
Will, you're up.
Yes, sir. Of course, I did watch this game because Saskatchewan in Saskatchewan sometimes interests me. Too bad it was against Montreal. I'm still struggling with everybody saying Brandon Bridge should be the starter because he did get in. I don't know. Did he start or not? Or did he come in after?
No, Glenn started. Glenn did one series and then
started.
Bridge came in. And they went back and forth after that and eventually had Vernon Adams in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, because, I mean, Kevin Glenn threw for two touchdown passes and Brandon Bridge threw for one interception and 125 yards passing. So I still don't think they're decided on who their quarterback is. And against Montreal, they should have done a lot better. I mean, they did score 37 points, so you can't fault them on that. But I mean, this game was, as Brandon said, it was predictable. I don't think anybody picked Montreal. I hope nobody picked Montreal. It was nice to see Darian Durant back in Saskatchewan, but overall the game, you know, really meant absolutely nothing to anybody. Well, and Trent Richardson, you know, 20 attempts, 127 yards. That's impressive. It is against Montreal once again. So, but the cold weather is coming up and he might be an important factor. I mean, when he did play in Cleveland, they do get cold weather there, so maybe he's used to be playing in the cold weather. Mind you, yeah, maybe he is used to it. So we shall see. But that's about all I got.
All right, Mark, your thoughts on this one?
Well, I only saw the first half of the game live, and then I saw the highlights and everything after. I had to be up at 2:30 in the morning, so I wasn't really going to stay to watch that burn burner. But, like you said, we all predicted what would happen. It is bizarre what Saskatchewan is doing with the quarterbacking. Putting a guy in for a series, taking him out, putting another guy in for two or three series, taking him out. Is that good leading up? I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Saskatchewan is pretty much the hottest team in the CFL right now. They just steamrolled Saskatchewan. Steamrolled Montreal. When you've got a back the size of Richardson, he's going to have a great time against a defensive line like that. What is the average age? About 35, 36, when you got guys like Bowman and that. I really felt bad for Nick Lewis to have to sit through another game like that. It must be just horrible for him to just sit there and go, yeah, here we go again. I just don't know going forward if Saskatchewan, what are they going to do in the playoffs? Switch quarterbacks constantly? And like Will said, you know, Brandon Bridge gets all the accolades because he's in at the end of the game. But they scored 37 points, and he threw for an interception. That's it. So is he as great as his win-loss record sounds? I don't think so. He's good. There's nothing wrong with him. But I want to see him play two games in a row as the starter, not as the guy who comes in because Kevin Glenn has one or two bad series. Nobody had a bad series in that game because it's against Montreal. Even Winnipeg could beat Montreal right now. So, but really, that's it. Like I say, I didn't only saw the first half. So, go ahead.
All right, Chris, what do you think?
Well, like everybody else said, it was the outcome everybody expected. I mean, Montreal's a train wreck. What are you going to do with it? And I don't know, as for Saskatchewan, Chris Jones is just Chris Jones, and I think at some point he's going to try to outcoach himself as usual, and it's going to bite him in the ass with the switching back and forth thing. But whatever. I mean, it was working for him now, and it's his magic little plan to make Kevin the starter so everybody plans for him and then throw Bridge in so nobody's prepared for him. And in the end, everybody's going to know what's going to happen anyway. So I don't know. I've never liked that idea, and I think he's just – it's the same thing with, you know, Trent Richardson. Yeah, okay, he looked okay, but, you know, he's a big man. Of course he's going to run okay, but it's not, you know, just – resurrect his NFL career. I mean, is he going to put up numbers that are going to make him look that again there? I don't think so. I mean, I think he's going to be a decent back, but it's just these things that Chris Jones gets in his head that he thinks he's being so smart with, I think, sometimes, and it just he's overdoing it. You don't need to try and be that tricky. So we'll see if it doesn't burn him in the end, but you got to admit, I mean, definitely Saskatchewan's playing good ball. I like how they play at home, and that it just, I think he's just, I wish he would just play good football, which it looks like the team can do, instead of trying to be tricky or whatever the hell he thinks he's doing. And all the drama around that team is just nonstop, right? Like, just go play football. You're good at it. You guys can actually play. Go be good. But, I mean, it wasn't an overly entertaining game. I didn't watch it all either, but I had to go to work. But it was what everybody expected, and Saskatchewan's still looking good. They're going in strong. It's going to be a scary playoff for everybody. I don't think anybody can be confident about what their team's going to do in the playoffs, because really it's a one-game shot, and right now everybody's got the ability to play that one game. So it'll be interesting. It'll make it exciting anyway.
All right, Rhonda, your turn.
Well, yeah, it wasn't real surprising that was the score. About the score that I picked, actually.
We're going to get into that.
Yeah, I know.
Coming up.
Anyways, that Richardson, yeah, he ran really great. And as far as him putting in both of those quarterbacks every second play or whatever, I mean, that's just giving us lots and lots of tape so that we can kick their butt next week. And that's fine with that's fine with me. Chad Owens, he had a pretty good game, I thought. He's getting into the, you know, he's getting his feet behind him and getting back into the playing mode well, and he doesn't look like he's missed a whole lot, so that was good. And that's about it.
All right, so right now I'm just looking at Bakari Grant's touchdown column, saying zero and snickering to myself, and you'll find out why a little bit later. But I know what Will was saying earlier with Kevin Glenn had two touchdown passes and Brandon Bridge didn't have any, had the one pick. But you also got to look at the full stat line. Against a terrible Montreal defense that's been giving up points left and right, that have absolutely nothing to play for, and the team is in disarray, he was 50%, 7 for 14. Well, at least Brandon Bridge had a better average. He had 66%. So there's good and bad in all those numbers. Let's face it. Montreal was not going into Saskatchewan to win this game. That was just not going to happen. You know that as well as I know that. But that was not going to happen. So when you look at it, Saskatchewan should have won this game. They were expected to win this game. If somebody there in a cement yard, there's a lot of noise in the background. All of a sudden. But the Rough Riders, you know, they got to figure out who they're going to go with, because a two-quarterback system doesn't work very often, especially in the playoffs. Now, has it been done successfully before? Sure, there's been teams that have used the two-quarterback combo and have had some success in it. Although I don't think that's necessarily a recipe for success. You got to figure out who your guy's going to be before you get to that point, I think. I think you've got to make a decision and stick with it. So I think Chris Jones better use this last game to figure out who he's going to go with as the starter in the playoffs. If I were betting, I'd say he's probably still going to go with Kevin Glenn, because A, he's stubborn that way, and B, Glenn, of course, has much more experience in the playoffs. So I think the odds are, even though I still think that Brandon Bridge is outperforming Kevin Glenn for the most part, I still expect that Glenn will be the starter when we come to playoff time. Okay, so let's look at these scores here for a second here. Well, first of all, nobody picked Montreal. Nobody was that foolish. I'm not surprised about that. Why would you pick Montreal? So, interesting. Mark, you were kind of off. You said 46-9. I was also way out, too. I said 49-12, although I got the 12 right, so I was at least 50% right, but my 49 is was not reality, I don't think. It's not going to be good enough to win this one. Let's see here. Brendan had Saskatchewan 40-16, not quite. Chris picked Montreal picked Saskatchewan 32-13. So that brings us down to two people. And what happened on Wednesday night? Will, you tried to Price is Right Rhonda.
Yes,
but,
he did.
You did, but Will, there's one thing I got to say to you here. And hold on a second. You actually ended up Price is Righting yourself, because by picking 1 point ahead of Rhonda, you actually gave her the win, because you had 38-10 for Saskatchewan. Rhonda had 37-10 for Saskatchewan. So by picking one above her instead of one below, Rhonda takes the circle, because she had the correct score, or the closest score, at 37-10. So it kind of backfired on you.
Woo!
Not that you're all that concerned, I don't think, Will, but Rhonda's probably going to have bragging rights because of it.
Yes, Charles, I spend my entire week deciding how I can beat Rhonda in picking of games, okay? You just have to look at my scores and how many circles I've gotten this year, and you can tell it's really important to me.
Yeah, that's right. But Rhonda's going to continue to laugh, I guess, but why not? All right, so that was the one game there. It was 37-12 for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders over the Montreal Alouettes. Montreal just wants to go home.
Let's talk CFL.
All right, game number three of the weekend. I'm finally going to be excited about talking about a Lions game for once. It's been a while since I've done that. BC goes into IGF, which looked like it was like sitting inside of a freezer, because everyone in the stands seemed to be bundled up to the nines. I thought they were waiting for like the abominable snowman or something like that, because it looked freezing cold there. But the Lions powered their way through it, and they actually get a win out of IGF. In fact, I believe they get their first ever win at IGF.
Yep.
36-27 over the Bombers. Now, the Bombers lost their starting quarterback, Matt Nichols, early. They lost Andrew Harris midway through the game on a hit. And I got to say that this was probably the best game of the year by Jonathan Jennings. 75% completion, 408 yards, 4 touchdowns, just the 1 pick. He looked very sharp in this game. That's something that we've not been able to say very much this year. He's had his struggles, as we're all aware, but he actually looked very good in this game. Now, can he continue on it? We'll see, but there was really no pressure on the Lions. Chris Rainey had a big... I'm not sure why. Jeremiah Johnson was a healthy scratch in this game. I don't know why that is. But Chris Rainey stepped in and started a tailback, and he had a great game. He rushed for over 100 yards. Both Brian Burnham both went over 100 yards, and they both surpassed the 1,000-yard receiving mark in this game. So they're both got 1,000-yard receivers. And Nick Moore is back again. And you know what? Why were we not playing Nick Moore more this season? Pardon the pun. But Nick Moore has been fantastic since he came back. Well, fantastic. That might be stretching it, but he's been very solid. He certainly seems to have been more productive than Chris Williams was, who, again, was a healthy scratch. So with 36-27 for the Lions, let's go to Mark, the Bomber fan, who was at this game live at IGF. Mark, tell us about it.
You are right in one respect, for sure. It was chilly.
Yep.
I've been to colder games, but when you've got that, as you would know, Charles, when it's around zero, minus one, with a little bit of a wind, and it's wet, that wind is not fun.
Nope.
As a fan, no, it's not. Thankfully, I tailgate, so I get warmed up there. But for the game itself, going into the game, I wasn't the most confident. And it turned into one of those games where it was like, if BC wants Paul LaPolice as their head coach, because he's done this for four straight games now, they're more than welcome to him. Once again, Andrew Harris only touched the ball 12 freaking times. I know he got injured. Here's the thing. That was, what, late in the third quarter he got injured? Midway through
the
third quarter?
Yeah, last 5 minutes.
He needs a ball.
So he had 12 times he touched the ball. And all he did is have an 8-yard rushing average. It was Medlock. It's great to see. Medlock is right back where he was before. He was 7-7. He hit some long field goals. But LaPolice and O'Shea were outcoached, and I hate to say this, by not only Wally, which of course I don't hate to say, but I hate to say Kahari Jones. Kahari knew this was a game, when you're playing a Bomber defense led by Richie Hall, that consistently spends 10 yards off the ball for their D-backs. This is a Kahari Jones gem, because he now can just throw the ball at will, which is why Jennings had such a great game. He had 40 passes. He completed 30 of 40. So when you're throwing 40 times, you know there's a problem on the defense, which terrifies me going into the playoffs, because with Richie Hall's defense, we're not going very far. But for the game itself, I was seriously pissed between not giving your MVP the football again, especially on a 3rd and 2, and you're on like the 12-yard line of BC. Well, let's go for a field goal. The guy's got an 8-yard average. Run the freaking football on 3rd down. You're going to get the 1st down. But no. And then you have, they put in Dominic Davis after Nichols got injured, which thankfully is not going to be long-term. Everything I've heard is that he is absolutely fine. But Davis started off horrible. As I'm not sure how it came across on TV, but there was a lot of booing. And I don't know if that's why. I don't know if that's why they pulled him in favor of the suicide pass extraordinaire and Dan LeFevre. But I thought Davis was playing a lot better, or a little better anyway, after he'd gotten in a few times and wasn't panicking every time he touched the ball. When he first came in, he panicked. You could see it. Every single time he had the ball, he had no idea what to do at the first 2 drives. But once he got into the game, I thought he was doing okay. And then LeFevre came in, and his passes were all over the place. he absolutely suicided Andrew Harris. I don't need to go into the ear hole hit. I think it was a bad hit. Everybody else thinks it's a good hit, whatever. If he throws a proper football, or at least doesn't stare at him for 3 seconds, that's a suicide pass and a half. Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous. But, you know, like I say, I kind of expected this to happen, and then especially with Nichols and Harris, you just go, yeah, we're done. It was one of those games. We still have a chance. Hopefully Calgary rests everybody next week, although I think at this point I'd rather face Bo Levi than Andrew Buckley in a way. But it was just one of those games that what could go wrong went wrong. LaPolice went into his little shell again of, let's try to do this, let's try to do that. No, you've got a 1,600-plus yard running back. Use him. And that has been my problem with LaPolice since he came back and when he was here before. But as for the game itself, BC played great. They deserved the win. They played anybody else. They're not winning, but... Now they played the really flat football team right now. Go ahead.
Well, you're also somewhat of a Bombers fan. What was your perspective on this game?
Well, my perspective is a couple of things. Number one, the Bombers aren't going anywhere without Matt Nichols as quarterback, okay? Because they don't have a backup that's worth anything. Sorry, and as much as a Dom Davis fan that I am, he just hasn't had enough game time, I think. So they have to keep Matt Nichols healthy. You would have thought that when Matt Nichols went out of the game that Paul LaPolice would start handing the ball off to the running back, but that didn't happen. Even if teams keyed on him, it would have given the passing game a little bit of a chance. But they didn't do that either. So, and Winnipeg's not going to win anything with that defense because, man, that defense was pretty porous. They're getting long games. And, you know, BC did play well, but most teams play well when there's no pressure on them, and especially Jonathan Jennings. He was pretty impressive, but once again, there was no pressure on him. It didn't matter if he won, didn't matter if he lost, didn't matter if he tied the game. I mean, there was no pressure, and he just went out and played football, and BC won. But I think Charles mentioned it earlier that, the receiver that they played this week that they don't normally play, was it Charles?
Nick Moore.
I mean, you know what? He's played well all year when he's been in, but then they put Williams in his place, and Williams hasn't showed anything. So I'd say save yourself some money, hold on to Nick Moore, and get rid of Williams tomorrow, because it seems that whole receiving core has better chemistry with Nick Moore in there. So, I mean, they all played well. But once again, they didn't have any pressure on them. So I'd like to see a difference if there's pressure on them to win that game. So anyways, that's it for me.
Brandon.
Well, I didn't get a chance to see much of this game. I was otherwise engaged, although I did catch the last half of the fourth quarter. Good for BC. You know, sometimes when there's nothing on the line, you don't feel like you have that albatross hanging around your neck, and I thought that helped the Lions out a little bit. It was really the first time in a long time they didn't feel like there was that proverbial noose hanging around their necks. One thought occurred to me, too, is how I've really felt like, what do the Riders really have left to play for, right? If they're going to finish third or fourth,
Bombers.
You really... No, but I'm thinking about the Riders. I'm a Rider.
Oh, sorry, yeah, okay.
So just from the Rider standpoint, and as, you know, if you would think that you'd be better off finishing fourth and then going through the crossover in the East Division, but as I'm watching this game, and after Matt Nichols went down, it occurred to me Nichols might be 100%, and he might be okay. Sorry, he might be okay, but that doesn't mean he's going to be fine coming back from this injury. Sometimes guys are a little bit more gun-shy. Sometimes they get happy feet. Things happen. With the fact that Calgary has struggled the last 2 weeks, although I think that this is the best thing for the Stampeders, they don't look so unbeatable anymore. Winnipeg doesn't look as unbeatable as they once did. You know, maybe going through the West isn't quite so daunting anymore. That's what I thought. It showed us that there is a chink in the armor with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and I just think it's wonderful that when Edmonton comes to Saskatchewan, there will be a plethora of possibilities in terms of where they end up in the playoff hunt, because at this point it looks like there's a pretty good chance that Edmonton will finish with a win, they'll get second, and with a loss, they'll probably stumble all the way to fourth place. So I was happy with the result. I thought it was good for BC to go in there and pick up a badly needed victory just from a morale standpoint. You never like to see teams get the crap beat out of them all season long, and we've been seeing that in BC. And I think it was time that they turned things around and they finally got a W. Although a day late and a dollar short, I still think it bodes well for the league, I think, going into the playoffs. It just means we'll see teams with a little bit more to play for than what would have been the case if Winnipeg would have come out and got the predictable victory.
Rhonda.
Well, I did pick BC to win this game. So I wasn't surprised, but I was cheering awfully hard for them. With Johnson and Williams, they were both out as healthy scratches. What's interesting is that team played better with those two sitting out. There was a time that we were trying to talk about maybe they had too many stars and not enough lunch boxes in BC, and maybe that was a lot of their problem. And putting that Nick Moore back in, Moore did really good when Lule was playing, and they played him a lot when Lule was in there, and then they kind of pulled him again. So it's kind of interesting that you sit out the big names and they did. That was hands down one of the best games that they played this year. It definitely was the best game that I saw out of Chris Rainey this year. He was really good. Now Harris, he went down with a lower body injury, they said.
Harris's
upper body. That was his head.
The
quarterback.
Nichols.
He went down. They said it was a lower body injury, and then they later on said they figured it was a calf, and it was a calf that had been giving him problems all week.
Yep.
But they thought they'd licked it. Well, they didn't lick it because you could see he kept trying to go back in and kept trying it. So, you know, they say it's okay, but that coach doesn't give out information either. And so just because they said it's okay doesn't necessarily mean it's okay. And they're going to be in a lot of trouble without Nichols. Harris, I hope he's going to be all right. He was walking around after a bit, but that was a hard hit that he took, a really hard one. So now Winnipeg is really starting to experience some of the stuff that the rest of the teams have been experiencing all year. Up until now, they've basically been playing with a pretty darn healthy team, and everybody else has had to been playing their, you know, second, third, fourth, and 18th stringers, in our case. So, I really did enjoy this game, and I watched it a couple times because it was so enjoyable. I guess that's about it. No, it's not. That control center. Oh, my goodness. When you are reviewing every scoring play and you're missing a guy down by contact, and they missed so many things that were reviewed, what the hell are they doing up there? That's all I can say. What are they doing up there? Somebody needs glasses, or they need to learn the game of football all over again, because they are not doing the CFL any favors. That's all.
Chris, what were your thoughts on this game?
Well, it was good to see Jonathan Jennings perform well again. I think it's been a while. They shook things up, you know, sat some people, put some new people in. They looked good. I thought BC played a decent game. I still think they've got some issues, obviously, and they've got a ways to go. But they look. It's always nice to see them look a little bit better than they have, for sure. I think Winnipeg's suffering the same issues that Calgary are. They're going in the playoffs in the wrong direction, but we'll see what happens. It's any given day. But I mean, I didn't have a super problem with the Harris hit. It happens. Would I have accepted a penalty there? Yeah, and maybe he'll get fined still. Who knows? But it's happened to every team now, so it's kind of one of those things. But I'll tell you right now, if he comes back and plays against Calgary, they're stupid. They're absolutely stupid. Because he might say he's okay, and I'm sure he thinks he's okay. But guess who else thought they were okay until they smashed their head into the turf against Winnipeg a couple years ago? Was Cornish. He was knocked cold. He had a ref and two people holding him up, and he couldn't have told you what his name was right there when you looked at him. And whether he thinks he feels fine now, that does not happen unless there's a major blow to your brain. And I understand that they have to clear, but if he's sitting there lying his ass off and going and clearing, and they clear him, and they're stupid enough to put him in for a game that really doesn't mean a lot, then I love the guy, but he's going to get what he deserves because he should know better. He's got to know better in this day and age that your career is worth more than just one frigging game. And I don't care what they say. Like, that's why I keep reading these reports. Oh, he's okay, and you can see him at the end of the game. No, I'm fine. Well, yeah, okay, it took you half an hour to get your senses back to you, but you don't do that unless your brain slammed against the inside of your head hard. And you might feel fine now, but who knows what's going on in there, and you take one more hit in a stupid game? Because, I mean, Hebert initiated that Cornish's issues with the bad hit. But what finished his career was slamming his head against the turf in that snow game in Calgary against Edmonton, or against Winnipeg at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And it's because it was the second or third impact in that season, and he just kept trying to come back. And, I mean, it might have happened anyway, because sometimes you just become more susceptible once you've had one. But you're never going to convince me that the way he came off that field, that he'll be good to go in a week. No way. No matter what, he feels like something's wrong in there. And he's taking a huge chance, because it's not the first one. It's the second and thirds and fourth ones that end your career. So that's my opinion on that. I think it's ridiculous for them to even entertain letting him play. Even if he wants to. Of course he wants to play. He's a professional football player. But, anyway, we'll see what happens, I guess.
All right. Well, I think everyone's gone with Chris. Me. Yeah. Us BC Lions fans have not had a lot to cheer about this year. So we're going to take what we can get right now. And, if we're not going to the playoffs. We know that. We're the first time in 20 years. It was just nice to see this team not lay down. I mean, like Will said, you know, it's a lot easier to play when there's no pressure on. And I get that. That's true. But you got to look. The Montreal Alouettes got no pressure on them. They didn't play very well. In reality, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, they played pretty well. But, I mean, when you got nothing to play for, there's two ways a team can go. They can just pack it in and lay down like Montreal's doing, or they can continue to play. Yeah, they got nothing, and the win overall is meaningless to the Lions because whether they win or not, they're not going to the playoffs, so it doesn't matter. But it's just nice for the Lions fans to have something small to cheer about and, you know, to see our guys not roll over and die because whether this team is going to the playoffs or not, we as fans, we still care about this team. We still want this team to do well every time they go out on the field. So I was glad to see it. I'm going to echo Rhonda's sentiments about the command center. How they missed a down by contact on that touchdown is beyond me. I know, Mark, you were saying about the down by contact earlier in the game where there was a play, it was a very close play. I closed it down. I thought Manny was up before he got touched. But in reality, I wasn't upset with the officials, the referees missing that, because that happens quickly. But they were reviewing that one. The one with the earlier in the play, the Bombers would have had to challenge to have that one reviewed. So this one was being automatically reviewed because it was a scoring play. They've got to get that because it wasn't a matter of slowing it down. It was blatant that he was down by contact. So I don't know how they missed that. But let's face it, this ain't the first time we've been talking about the command centers getting getting calls wrong. Hell, if I had a nickel for every time we talked about a blown call by the command center, I'd be rich. I'd be going to the Grey Cup this year. But I was happy to see the win. It's nice and all. This doesn't mirror it, or this doesn't do away with the Lions' problems at all. They've still got many, many issues that got to be fixed in the offseason. I know that, and hopefully the team knows that. It was just nice for once to be talking about a win and not a loss, because we've been talking about losses pretty much since the beginning of September. So it was nice to have a bit of a change of pace, at least for 1 week. So let's look at this game here.
Actually, quickly, Charles, before we go into the scores, I forgot a little rant I wanted to do on the Harris hit, but you might get a kick out of this.
Okay.
The first guy on the field when Harris was on his back with his arms up and not moving was Wally. And the first thing he did, you could see him motioning really fast to the Bomber bench going, get over here. The second thing he did was grabbed Purifoy, screamed at him, and threw him on the bench. Mm-hmm. Why? Purifoy was standing over Harris, dancing. He looked at him, did a little dance, and then walked away doing this little dance. I thought Wally was going to punch him. It was one of the... And players do this all the time on a big hit. You know, they see the hit, they immediately dance. I thought Wally was going to punch him. And Purifoy barely played the rest of the game. So Wally lost it on Purifoy and went, you know what, bud? You're going to do this? You're on the bench. He played special teams, and he seemed to come in as like a nickelback the rest of the game. I was actually watching for it because I knew the Bombers weren't going to win at that point. So I was just watching that kind of stuff. Wally was pissed. And that's the classiest move I've seen by an opposing coach in years. And like, I'm not blaming Purifoy for doing the dance or anything, because if I'd have been around that hit, I probably would have done the same thing. Mm-hmm. But for Wally to recognize that Harris was in trouble, and he was, like Chris said, you know, it took how many guys to get him off the field and get him up.
Yeah.
For Wally to do that was one of the best things I've seen, and everybody around me was, why are you standing clapping? And I'm trying to explain to them. What he just did is what every coach in the CFL or professional sports should do. You've got a guy being classless, you get him off the field and you bench him. It'll be interesting to see if he plays next week, because you know what Wally can be like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, though. I forgot about that part of it. I just thought it was a great move on Wally's part to just lose it on his own player for something like that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Good.
All right, so let's move on to the scores here. Brendan picked Winnipeg. Mark picked Winnipeg. Will picked Winnipeg. They're all eliminated. Chris, you picked BC to beat. You picked BC 28-26, so that puts you 2-6. That puts you 7 out. Rhonda, you picked 29-24, so that puts you 2-7. That puts you 9 out. And I tried to Price is Right you. I put 30-24, but that still leaves me 8 out. So Chris gets the circle in this game. with a score of 28-26.
There you
good
go.
Good job, Chris.
Keeping pace
good
with Rhonda.
Good job, Chris.
Good job, Chris, and you didn't even Price is Right me to do it.
No. And I even had time to look at everybody's score before I did my score.
Yep. And as for my attempt to Price is Right, Rhonda... It worked about as well for me as it did for Will.
Yeah, wrong direction again.
Yep, it was. All right, this one could be an interesting game to talk about at the end, as the Edmonton Eskimos at Commonwealth Stadium knock off their provincial rival Calgary Stampeders by a score of 29-20. I got to say this here. I looked at the score because I did not see the end of this game, and I looked at the score on TSN's app, and initially they had the score screwed up, because the first time I looked at it, it said Calgary 30, Edmonton 29. I'm like, oh, Calgary edged Edmonton. And then I went back a little while, and the score had changed to 29-20, so good job on keeping your app up to date there, TSN. But Edmonton does win 29-20, and with that win matched with the Winnipeg loss, they are still in the hunt for second place going into the final week. So they're recovering from their big long mid-season slump that they had. So Edmonton hangs on to win 29-20 over Calgary. Rhonda, you were at this game. What
well,
is that?
No,
okay.
I actually could not go to
this
game.
Oh, you worked at the game. Sorry, I thought you were for some reason.
No, I really wanted to be there, but I couldn't go. I have to drive 2 hours to get to the game, and I couldn't find anybody to go with me, and my husband was putting up a shop, so I had to watch it at home. So I just watched it twice anyway.
Well, you should have sent the message to Will. I'm sure he would have driven
game.
Down.
I love this game. This was so good. I expected the outcome that it was, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. We're getting most of our players all back and healthy, and they're really starting to jive now. Mike Riley did fantastic. Our receivers are now a 3-4-headed monster. That's making it very difficult for teams to double team. And my Aaron Grimes, he just plays his little heart out. I just love him. I was super happy to break Calgary's back-to-back loss of the 103 games that they had. And we give them their back-to-back losses. We give Dickinson his first loss to Edmonton as a coach. It was just so wonderful. And some people, I'm not going to name any names, but some people say that, oh, it didn't mean anything to Calgary. Oh, yeah, it meant something to Calgary. This game, Calgary had more penalty yards for dumb things and bad discipline than they'd had all year up until this point. And they had them all in one game. So that was really awesome. It meant something to them.
And what you really mean to say is Will said.
And it meant lots to us too. So, yeah, it was a wonderful day. And now
right,
we're still in the hunt for second.
Yep. All right, Will, Stampeders fan, your turn to have your equal time.
There's not much to say. Calgary lost. Edmonton beat them for the first time this year. That means if we're talking percentages, Edmonton beats Calgary 33 1/3% percent of the time.
Okay, can you hold on? I'm hearing a lot of feedback here.
I am too. What is that?
Well,
hello?
That's better.
Okay,
that's
whoever
better.
Was is gone, yeah.
Anyways, okay, Edmonton beats Winnipeg 33 1/3% percent of the time out of every three games. So that's highly impressive. The game meant so much to Calgary. I'm sure it did. I mean, I don't think the standings changed after the game for Calgary anyways. But it would have been nice to see Calgary win. I don't know if they're going to see Edmonton in the playoffs. I guess we'll find out. The way it's looking right now, it's a possibility. I was disappointed that Winnipeg lost, and now Edmonton has a chance to come to the Western Final. Calgary's offense is still not playing well. I mean, they did only score, what was the final score? I can't remember, 29-20. I wish I could tell you I watched the whole game, but to protect my TV, I didn't. not much you can say. I mean, it is what it is. Calgary lost. It's their second loss in a row. That could mean one of two things. They're not going to be very good in the playoffs, or they're just going to run the playoffs. It's hard to say. So I would like to see, Marquay McDaniel's back on the field. Marcus Michel back on the field. They played with a partial offensive line. Jerome Messam actually looked like he had some jump in his step on Friday night or Saturday night for the first time in quite some time. So, hey, end of the year, we'll see what happens. Not much more than I can say. So, I think Calgary's defense looked fairly good. Their pass rush hasn't been as good as it has been in previous weeks, but Jagerd Davis wasn't playing. So I guess it's just a wait and see on any given day. We'll see who wins football games.
All right. Chris, you're also a Stampeder fan, so I'll let you have your say on this one.
Well, I mean, I didn't think it was as bad a game as probably other people did. I think it was defensive off the start. I took goods and bads from both sides, actually, to be honest with you. I think I agree with Ron, a lot of what Rhonda said about Edmonton, because I think that their receivers are looking better and more on tune than they have in a long time, and that's dangerous because, without a doubt, I think they've got the best receiving core, maybe Saskatchewan. But with those people out there, it's going to be hard. And the difference in the end is who's throwing the ball, right? And Mike Riley's Mike Riley. They look good. They look crisp. And you know what? My worry has always been with Edmonton is their D, and their D played pretty good. I didn't have a real – definitely the line did. Their front seven are playing really well together. I'm not a big fan of Konar, but he plays pretty good, so I'm going to have to give him his dues. They look solid. I think that the secondary is still a little bit questionable, but Grimes makes a huge difference back there. The one thing I really worry about is their O-line is still not very good. And Will might think that Calgary didn't have much of a pass rush, but rewatch the game or watch the highlights, and Mike Riley took a beating this game. And you can't. He's the toughest player out there. I will always give him that, but every time